Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Oversharers Podcast. My name is Harla.
I'm Colton.
And this is us. And we've got a special, special guest. I would say she's the current it girl for me. Her content makes me feel very comforted. It's like my end of the night TikTok watch. I love it, honestly. It's so cute. So anyway, guys, welcome Hannah.
Welcome. We've got Hannah in our corner today.
Cheers, cheers. She's in our look. That's how you say it in Somali.
So I'm sure everyone knows who Hanan is because we're always reposting the Ramadan Mubarak's, the Eid Mubarak.
The artwork.
The images, the artwork. So I'm sure most of you are aware, but Hanan is an occupational therapist turned digital artist.
Yes.
We have a successful businesswoman, lifestyle and beauty influencer. Yeah. And as Harley mentioned already, an all-round it girl.
Yes, thank you.
Oh my God. I love that intro.
Do you love it? We love it for you, honestly. So I think one of the first things for me is, like, most people know you from TikTok and your social media and your YouTube. Yeah. Others might know you from the TDS episode. That was just amazing. Honestly, it was a very tear-jerking. As two people that have experienced grief because we lost our dads, it was like an open format of describing what grief really is.
Yeah.
Especially for people in our culture, because I feel like often it gets brushed under the carpet of, don't worry, like, it's Allah's plan, move on, deal with it. Do you know what I mean? So exactly. I felt like it was a very articulate way to describe people's emotions, especially when they're young. Because I think you and Colton were similar ages when you've lost.
Yeah, I thought it was really open, honest. And I've never heard someone discuss grief. Yeah. Like in our culture, because as Harla mentioned, like, we've always just told such
literally, it's like the same thing in Asian culture. It's the
patience,
exact same thing. Yeah.
Don't worry. You're going to get fine. Over
basically
it.
Basically, get over it.
Yeah, get over it. Under the guise of it's God's will. Although we do understand that, but like,
a lot of emotion.
We also need to process this.
Yeah, we don't talk about it at all. I feel like even in Islam, in our communities in general, no one really talks about what happens after someone passes away or how to process it. It's kind of just like, it happens, it's qadr. Move on, basically.
It happens, you being know? The main, like,
mantra. Like, death is, like, written.
And it's not fair.
But it's, like, there's so much.
There's so many emotions that come.
And as a child, none of that means nothing to you.
Yeah, and 20 is still early adult, but to me, it's, like, my brain wasn't developed. I didn't understand the
that
world.
Frontal.
It was, like, you know that frontal, it's, like, fresh 20.
Yeah.
What do you do? So there were so many emotions, but alhamdulillah, I'm so grateful that I did that because I didn't realize how many people related to it.
Yeah.
And also, like, how common it is for parents to pass away. I think sometimes we just believe that they're superhuman. They will never pass away. Oh, and then it happens, and you're, like,
what do I do?
Like, how do I cope?
Yeah. So alhamdulillah for the episode, I think it helped me a lot, and it still helps me talking about it even 8 years later.
Yeah.
But it also helps a lot of people know that they're not alone, and that seeing someone else get through and process grief and how they can get through it is, like, inspirational. So alhamdulillah for that.
Alhamdulillah.
So I think the question that we wanted to ask is, we know that that situation obviously put you into a path where, also, you see me fiddling already, a path where you started to create art, and then you started your blog as a form of therapy to get yourself through it. So, like, explain that period of time for us. Like, how was it starting the blog, using that as a format to get over your grief?
Yeah.
And then moving on to art.
Yeah, I think writing was something that I've always done in my journal. I really need to get back to writing because I completely, you said blog and I was like, oh my God, I forgot about that blog.
I read it today. So I skimmed it. I said that writing's good.
Yeah,
you're an excellent writer. Sometimes people bring it up and I'm like, I completely forgot about my blog. But yeah, like, that was my way of processing. And so I wanted a way to release. And at the time, I wasn't really sharing anything on my platforms. It was kind of a personal account.
Yeah.
Did not realize people were actually reading it. I think blogs were not, I didn't even know they were a thing. But subhanAllah.
How do you even figure out if someone's read it? Is it like it receives,
I think it
X
does, but at
hits
the I think
stuff.
So, but it was so long ago that I don't even know if there was analytics. I just posted. So when people tell me they've read it, I'm like, What? I thought it was like ring. A diary that I shared.
And there's nothing for you. Yeah. And there's nothing there for you to be like, oh, like
X amount of people read it. Right? No, I don't think so. I've never checked. So
that's, I feel like that's kind of nice.
It's though. Nice, yeah, because it's just out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But alhamdulillah, like I think that it really it allowed me to have a little bit of a kind of like a routine to like extract my thoughts. And it was really efficient for me. And when I put it out there, wallah, there was no expectations. It was kind of like, I'm just going to put it out in the universe. Maybe someone will get, like, find yeah, it yeah, and yeah. it'll help them. And then from there, like, my day-to-day life just became, everything became inspirational for me. I would see something and it would remind me of her. I would do something and remind me of her. And with art, my mom was also, like, really into art. She was the one who pushed me into art very early.
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, so then I was, like, while I was in university doing my degree in occupational therapy, I just needed something to pass the time. I was in a new city with like no friends, so I was like, okay, I'm just gonna do something new. And subhanAllah, it just became what it did. It just blew up. And then alhamdulillah, just now it's a career. But I think it was because of the intention of how it started,
yeah,
and also the inspiration behind it that led to where it did.
Yeah,
but in everything that I do, my mom is in my mind, on my mind. So even where I'm at today is truly her du'as. I'm living through her, like, answered her du'as.
Tell us about the journal.
Which journal?
So basically, her journal. in the TDS episode, I'm so sorry, guys. In the TDS episode, Hanan talked about her mum's journal, and I think you found it after she passed away.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you got, did you get the full journal transcribed?
No, not yet. I have so many people to this day, like, email me. Can we translate it? And I think I'm ready, but I'm also not. I think I'm not fully ready to have other parts of it translated just yet, but I did have parts of it.
Nice.
In the beginning, it was really hard to translate it because her words, like the words that she would use were so eloquent and hard and very poetic. So even people who were fully fluent in Arabic, it took them time to translate each word. I remember I went to my university teacher and I was taking Arabic during third year. He couldn't even translate some of the words.
Oh my God, your mom's
and I was like, oh my God, like what kind of poetry is this?
It's like, oh, I didn't know she was a secret poet.
But subhanAllah,
there's probably
it was like,
so many like secrets in there.
Literally,
treasures.
There's stuff about marriage. There's stuff about like the Prophet's life, like literally there's so much, but
it
the part
little diary
literally. So and there's also artwork in there too, so I need to get it laminated.
You have to.
But subhanAllah, I really feel like it was like a gift Allah Azza wa Jal gave me to like look into her life, and I brought it with me to the UK.
God,
I couldn't leave
it to have something like that.
I've got one letter from my dad that I'm like, oh dear, my life. And I'm like, I should laminate that letter.
I've got like emails that he used to send, like Karen emails.
But it inspires you to want to do the same for your kids, you know, like in the future have something. I feel like everything's so digital now. I think about it, I'm like, yo, what am I gonna, how am I going to tell my kids that, like,
even,
you know,
like, pictures.
Yeah.
I'm like, I only take pictures of my kids on my phone. And I'm like, when I was younger, my mom used to have like entire books of
albums,
photographs and albums. Like, isn't that mad?
Yeah.
And I don't even have one.
No, we recently, like, about 2 years ago, we discovered an old camera that had a memory card in it. So I went online and was looking for the charger that, you know, is the charger that the camera uses, but it was such an old camera that I never thought in a million years that I'd find the charger. And I found the charger on Amazon, and then I found the pictures, and there were pictures of my dad and my little sister.
Baby sister.
She was like 6 months at the time, and it was like he was holding her, and I was like, oh God, we've got to do something with these pictures. I never got them developed, but I still have the camera.
I love that. I actually went through something similar where I found old VCRs. And then when I saw them, I knew that they were like old videos from way back, because my parents used to take a ton of videos. I'm sure your parents were the same. So my best friend and I, she went and found on Facebook Marketplace someone that sells a VCR. So I bought it and I watched all these home videos.
Oh my God,
it was so crazy. Because like, it's like you're seeing yourself, how you're interacting with your parents, and like these home videos of her like recording, like
things
her like dressing up, just so many things.
That
and
you
I'm
would
like,
never
didn't get
remember.
Ready with me.
Yeah, it was
in
insane. And then my husband bought me the thing that you can transfer the VCRs into footage that you can save on your phone. I haven't done it yet, but it's nice that I have like
so
videos
nice.
Now. Yeah,
don't you just have technology?
Yeah, it's just crazy. Yeah,
it literally makes life easier.
It's great that you could just have that on your phone. Yeah. Another one that I discovered was, so basically, my dad used to do this thing where he'd take pictures of us and stuff and then send it to my grandma back home. So we never had those photos, but then he would always keep the film.
Yeah.
And then so one day I was like clearing out the loft and I found loads of film and decided to go and get them developed. I didn't know developing film was so expensive, by the way. Like, so I went to Snappy Snaps and was like, what?
Snappy Snaps is a ripoff, girl. No, it's so expensive.
Yeah. But then we found all these like really old pictures from, there were loads of stuff in there. It was like my uncle's wedding, us when we were kids in the park, pictures of myself that I have never seen before in my life. But we can see them through the film, but we can you can't really make out the
what is going on.
Yeah. So amazing. Oh my God. I remember once I posted something on Instagram. I think it was like a picture, a baby picture. And two people who I don't know at all, DM'd me photos of me at like a wedding when I was a baby. I was like,
oh,
what?
She's scary.
And it just makes me, but it makes me think about the fact that like there's other people that also have photos and videos of you when you were a kid.
There's probably your family that gave them the photos.
I was like, okay.
I'm not gonna lie, my cousin from Canada was so crazy. She always sends me random pictures of me and her in Somalia back in the day. And it's like us in these ugly little dresses next to goats, and I'm like, why are you trying to embarrass me? Delete this out.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Oh my God. Anyway,
back to questions.
Back to questions. Okay, quick question.
So going off the artwork, so this was inspired by your mum, but the artwork is very intentional.
Yeah.
So we can see a lot of like Black Muslim representation. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of wanted to understand, like, is this something that you plan? Is this what you plan? Because a lot of the artwork that you usually see isn't very representative.
Yeah, representative.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the word. Yeah, a lot of the artwork that we see generally isn't very representative. So you doing that, I feel, obviously, is intentional. So I just wanted to see where the idea came from.
I think for me, when I first started, I was creating a lot of East African-centered art because I didn't see much of it. I don't see much Eritrean art at all, very rare. And if it is, it's usually people in Eritrea. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna create. So it started off with Eritrean art, Somali art, Kenyan art, Ethiopian art, but it was centered on streetwear or something that's more relatable, I guess, to the younger generation.
Yeah.
So I mixed that in with culture and people loved it because it's like, oh my God, I see myself. Yeah, like, exactly. This is me as a diasporan, Eritrean, Somali, whatever it is, in art.
Yeah.
And I never saw that. So I loved what I created and other people loved it. And then that kind of just grew. And then for me, it was just really important because as a child growing up, I didn't see me in art. And if I do see like Muslim women in art, they're usually like fair skinned. Yeah. Like you don't see much brown or dark skinned women in art, especially
I don't even see hijab.
Or even hijab, exactly. And now it's become this thing. Now we're slowly starting to see more Black and brown artists coming out and creating and stuff. So that was really important for me.
Yeah.
But then it started out that way and then it just kind of like spread. And then became like creating art for different countries and like creating art for Muslim women.
Yeah.
And then it's really about creating representation, but also a safe space for Black Muslim women.
They could even be used as cards.
Oh, yeah. Know. So much.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we never used to. I used to give Christmas cards. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never used to give Eid cards.
We have Eid cards.
Yeah, we had them. Yeah. But you know, the ones that we had back in the day were just really weird.
So dead. It's just like Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak or just a picture of a moon. Or
Star. These ones are next to. So I'm like, Ramadan time.
We can't wait, girl. We need those. And even that phone case is so nice.
It's literally my favorite phone case.
I love it. It's so beautiful.
I'm super grateful. It's
what was I going to say to you? There's another artist who's Sudanese and she does these cosmic galaxy,
Jenna
inspired.
Oh, no way.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
I don't know, actually.
Oh, I don't know her name, but she always comes up on my thing. I took a screen.
Oh,
like,
mashallah.
If I could.
From the UK?
Yeah, she's from the UK.
Oh, wow.
And, like, she's got a gallery somewhere in Central, and she did something abroad.
Oh, I think I follow her on Twitter. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's like
very cosmic.
Yes.
And it's very Willy. Not really.
She puts her cultural aspects to it as well. Mashallah,
and then
it's incredible.
Like, it's like a cloud with like a clock and then there's something culture based, but it's so nice.
It's incredible. Yeah,
like
I
would literally have that as a painting.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've seen her artwork before. It's incredible. I hope I see more of us though in art.
There's another girl that I've seen on Instagram. I can't remember her name, but I think she's Somali. Hanan, you might know her. I completely forgot her name, but she does Somali women artwork.
Okay, mashallah.
So it's like nomadic women.
Yes.
She does like I don't know, the everyday girl, but a lot of them you'll just see her like wearing a barsi and like garbasar and stuff like that. I'm sure you've seen
my fits. That's amazing.
But she just makes them look so beautiful.
But it's like they all have unique, even yours. I know your signature design. It's very unique. Like I know Hanan made that, and it's similar to this girl, Sudanese girl I'm talking about. I need to write her name at the bottom, but like hers is, I can just tell.
Like, it's like an art style. That's
crazy. And it's so crazy. It's amazing. Mashallah. Okay, we're talking about relationships. We know Hanan is a happily married woman. So we want to know the love story behind it.
Okay.
If that is possible.
So my husband came to Toronto for a Somali Student Association. They were having an event. So his podcast group got invited to come and speak for the 3 days. So he was in Toronto. I'm from Toronto. And we met at Starbucks.
Oh, God, the place that can't be
Starbucks
named.
Is boycotted now, so I feel like my love story is ruined. So now when I'm like Starbucks, I'm like,
change the name.
We boycotted, but yeah, that was pretty much
Cafe Nero.
She went to Costa.
I went
that's
to Costa.
How she met.
And that was when he just offered me a coffee, and alhamdulillah, I just
wait, just out of the blue, he was like, hey, would you like coffee? Oh, I love that.
Right.
I already had a coffee in my hand, though, and I was like,
he just wanted to talk to you. He was like, how can I speak to this fly girl? Right, so we do this thing called Question of the Week. It's called Monday Madness. So this week, the question is, would you guys let your siblings choose your life partner?
I don't think I would personally.
Never, no.
Yeah, never. No.
They're younger than me. I feel like they don't know what I do.
I'm like, no.
And they just don't know what I like.
Yeah, no.
And I feel like me and my sister, like, our types are completely different.
Yeah. So I don't have sisters, so. I feel like if I had a sister, maybe.
Would you let your brother?
No. No. No.
What if he's like, dude, this brother is amazing. This person is good for you.
I don't know.
Would you meet him at the very least?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I feel like it's just weird.
I'm like, yeah, but like, oh, I don't want to meet your friend, sorry.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. There's just, it's odd. No, I don't know.
We probably grew up together.
He's probably like the local boy.
Right.
Right. One girl goes, my sister, yes. My brothers, absolutely not.
Yeah. Which, literally what I said.
Which goes for you guys. Yeah. Someone goes, their taste in men is toxic. She wants bulky men while I want a golden retriever. So she goes, no, I will never let her choose it. Someone goes, depending on my siblings, most people said depending on which sibling it is, which is quite funny. So I'm assuming the sibling that you're closer to,
yeah,
right, you're willing to work with. Yeah. Someone goes, hell no, we're 13 years apart. The men I like, she considers them grandpa. So, okay, girl, some people are into that, you know? Someone goes, they just have bad taste in men. Send her.
Oh,
just like that.
She's sending for the sister.
Just like that. She goes, another person goes, hell no. These N-words will set me up with a bahal just to take the piss. A bahal means animal.
Basically,
they'll set her up with an animal just to take the piss. She goes, one fed us raw chicken one time. I can't trust him to keep me alive, let alone pick a partner for me. People are actually so funny. What? So no one would actually do it. There's not one person that said yes.
It's just, you're just asking for trouble at this point. Your whole
literally.
Sibling.
Wait, unless your sibling is very mature and has a very, like...
Yeah, if it's an older sister.
Yeah, something like that, then maybe. Because, like, they're looking out for you as your youngest.
Like, I know young. I would have a good... I could recommend a good partner for my sister.
Do you think so? Really?
Yeah. I think I've got an excellent judge of character.
Really?
No, I'm joking. She would never take anyone I bring seriously.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
Like, ew, no way.
Yeah,
like,
please keep
it.
Those people away from
me. I feel like it's a person. I feel like generation-wise, like our parents, I think they took on a lot of that because of obviously their parents hooked them up with people and then they were forced to accept them and like there was a lot of choice based on that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm.
Whereas like we have so much more freedom to pick who our partner is, and I feel like sometimes that freedom is a good thing and sometimes I feel like
it's not the best, to be honest. No. I feel like there's a drought right now with like,
girl.
Like everyone's like shaking it right now.
Girl,
I heard the streets are
the
just
streets are
bleak.
Bad.
Yeah, it's a sad world out there.
Yeah, it's hard
in the realm of relationships.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people would actually prefer if like you recommended them to someone. Like I get it all the time. Like, if you know anyone like in the UK, and I'm like, I wish, but
or like, did your husband know anyone?
Yeah, literally all the time, and I'm like. Oh my God. There's nobody.
You know what it is? I just don't know, guys. I don't know what it is. Where is the drought coming from? Can we resolve this issue for the Muslim girlies?
I think the killer is apps. This is my personal opinion.
Do you think so?
I really think that's what it is.
Like mismatch and hate,
like certain apps, because I feel like nowadays people think that they have so many options, especially men.
Yeah.
So they view relationships as kind of disposable. Like, oh, yeah, if this doesn't work out, whatever, I'll just go on an app and see who's next.
And
like
swipe next.
Rather than exactly. So I think the culture also of relationships has changed dramatically. No one really wants to take the time to invest and try to longevity. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, oh, if this doesn't work out, whatever. Like, you have one problem and like you would just end the relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I have a bunch of people I can just like.
I feel like having more choice. It's like, I can change my geographical location to another location. I'm done with London now. Yeah. Let's check the US.
Let's check Birmingham.
You know what I mean? So it just seems like there's so many options when in reality it's like.
I didn't even think of it like that.
I feel like having a lot of choice people obviously will get complacent. Like,
do we have a lot of choice? I feel like men have a lot of choice, but
women don't have a lot of choice.
Women are incredible.
Yeah.
But the options of a great man is one good man, 10 amazing women.
And
like,
I think
ratios,
yes.
Like,
and I think that those options get smaller as you age and mature as well.
Yeah, exactly. It gets harder.
Because you're like, I'm too smart for you guys.
And your standards keep growing.
Because exactly. Every day you're like, I need someone with money.
Yeah.
Who's kind. Yeah. Who's understand. But in my mind, I'm like, a lot of the things that I would want in a partner, they're normal stuff that anyone would want.
Yeah.
But it's like people are just not meeting the mark.
Like the basic expectations.
Is that how, in my mind, I'm like, am I raising my sons right? Because this is just like, I'm actually scared for them. Because imagine someone comes to me and you're like, your son ain't shit. Like, I'm actually going to be so upset.
Can you imagine? That's actually like, my biggest fear. I can't.
Like, what have you done in the 20 years that you've been raising this boy? Like, it actually scares me.
Oh. No, Charlotte, won't
like,
be
like you can't
that.
Be kind. And just know what a woman wants.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like expectations too. You should have good, high expectations, of course.
Yeah.
I feel like there should be the basics. Mm-hmm. But then I feel like sometimes, as women, we're guilty of this, where it's like, if they don't check off all the boxes, yeah. No.
Of course.
But I feel like now you need to be kind of reasonable.
Yeah.
No human being is going to check off every single box, unless Allah blesses you with that and you're like super lucky.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be like one or two where you're just like, okay, as long as it's reasonable, you can work around it, or it's something they can change. I feel But I feel like now everyone's like, if they don't meet this, on to the next, and it's like there is no next though.
But this is the thing, like people don't realize that life isn't as rigid as checking off a box. You know what I mean? Whoever your partner turns out to be, there's always going to be
something
that happens,
right? Or that expectation. Let's say it's like money, and this guy, the guy you meet, is like perfect. He has great money, and then you get married, and he loses it. Now what?
What are you working with here?
Yeah, you know what I mean. So it's just like
I'm not gonna lie, money is a big factor though, guys.
Yeah,
like
it is.
The bigger we get. The older we get, I'm not gonna lie, when I was 20, I would easily marry someone that's like, you know, I love and like, you know, we'll work together. But if I'm like 29, 35, I'm not trying to come up with you. I need you to be where you are. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, the £2,000 rent ain't gonna pay for itself, and it's not gonna come from me if I'm
love
having babies.
Love does not
for
pay
you.
The bills.
No,
pay the bills, like no.
And I think majority of issues when you do get married, if you forget about all the fickle stuff of like icks and whatever, like I genuinely feel like the main core issues people have when they get divorced is either financial or it's abusive.
1,000%. Mm-hmm. Right? Finances is actually the biggest reason why people divorce.
Divorce, yeah. So. But it's either or, and also with abuse, it's like there are different elements with abuse. It could be like this sort of abuse or that sort of abuse. Yeah. So that's like an umbrella term, I would say.
Right.
Mm. Could be like emotional abuse, could be physical, could be financial,
could be anything.
Could be anything.
Yeah.
Seems men are trifling.
I've just thought about it now. They're all trifling.
They're all trifling. There's happy people. There's people that are happy, guys. But that moves us on slowly to what's been happening on TikTok recently. So we all know that our lovely sister Megan Rice.
Oh my God! Yes.
Allah bless her. Honestly, it just made me. I literally came on TikTok, guys, and I just saw her wearing hijab. I was like, huh?
Oh my God!
When did this happen?
We were getting messages in the group chat like, guys, she's on live. She's about to take her shahada.
Oh my God! I was so happy. I was able to catch it.
Oh, you actually watched it?
Yeah, I watched it. It was amazing. I screen recorded. I was like, I need to like remember this.
Oh,
Allah, so amazing.
It was really nice. I think I saw like a reposted video of it.
Yeah, of her and
so many people have reverted on TikTok.
I know,
it's insane.
Especially over what's happened in Palestine. Yeah.
It's amazing.
She looks so good in hijab. Have you seen her recent TikTok?
I know, and her skin is popping.
Yeah,
guys,
she
just
looks
like,
so
is this
good.
The noor?
I'm not saying it. They're like, the noor is
and you know what? She's like, you know what makes me laugh? I was thinking about this today. I was like, she's already found her hijab style.
Right, like, yeah. Quickly.
Like,
quickly.
She knows what works for her face. Here's me. This is a new hijab style. 29 years, guys. I've been Muslim and I'm still
fiddling with
out
different
hijab
styles.
She's so funny though, because why she put her hijab over her afro? She's like, guys, what do I do? She's like, my black Muslim girls, what do I do? You just see the afro. I was screaming.
I was like, how do I tame this? It's my wash day tomorrow.
Megan is so funny. Like, why is she so funny?
Why was she so funny? And then she's like, guys, the hijab feels like a warm hug. Like, she's like, I love it. I was like, wow, I never thought about that. Like,
she's like, I just feel comfortable.
Mashallah, but it's so amazing how, like, a lot of the people who reverted instantly wore hijab. Like,
yeah.
They didn't
yeah.
even wait. Like, it was just like, yeah. I'm like, mashallah, it's so amazing.
Just how amazing.
Allahumma barik. May Allah make it easy for her.
I mean, there's just a lot of positive things are coming out of the situation in Palestine. And I just feel like this was, it just made the air so light.
Yeah. There's like three people that took their shahada, I think.
Yeah.
There was like
there
a
was
Jewish,
the Jewish
woman.
Girl, yeah.
Yeah,
may Allah make it easy for them.
And then another black girl, I think.
Yeah.
But with Megan, so I think there was a bit of hoo-ha going on with Megan Rice recently, where she was on a live with a guy called Abistani. I don't know if you saw
it. No, I didn't.
So basically, how do I even describe this? I've got to check.
I think you can play the clip. But you might need to hold the clip on the mic
so the audience
can hear.
So Megan, bear in mind, is a brand new Muslim.
I don't think at that time she even took her shahada.
Oh, did she not?
At that point.
Yeah.
In that clip, I don't think she did.
Oh, so she was still kind of like trying to understand Islam.
I think she was about to take her shahada like the next day.
Mm. Yeah.
In that video. But it's hilarious because it just made me laugh. I was like, let the girl sit down and have a cup of tea before you start on her.
Yeah. So she became Muslim. Quran Book Club is currently at 12,000 subscribers.
Wow, mashallah.
Members.
Discord as well.
Oh my
and then
God.
She was on a live with this guy called Abistani, which was quite controversial. So
he helped her at the beginning. He was
yeah,
very helpful.
He was very helpful.
Very supportive.
He was giving her a lot of good advice as well. But then there was this one particular thing he said that had the
girlies jumping.
Oh, yeah, no. The girlies were. So I'll play it for you, and I just want to hear your thoughts.
Take into account as well.
Hold on, let's start from the top. Okay, here we go.
He's so funny.
Here we go.
It's going out on all these stupid podcasts and saying it doesn't make sense for me. It doesn't make sense for me to do this. It doesn't make sense for me. And so what they're doing is they're corrupting the minds of young men and women to not get married. Right now, there's over 53% of women that are not married in the United States. Right? I'm just talking about the Muslim community. I don't know about the rest of the world. You know what I mean? I'm just talking about the Muslim community. The divorce rate is over 73%.
This in the Muslim catastrophe. Community?
This is a calamity in the Muslim community.
Stop.
Right? And a lot of it stems from, according to statistics, a lot of it stems from women initiating it as well, because they have these ideas, a lot of them, again, I'm saying, generally speaking, I'm not saying for everyone, generally speaking, some of them take these ideas, they take their thought process from these dumb podcasts, they take their ideologies from these people that are corrupt, that shouldn't even have a microphone in their mouth in the beginning.
First of all, so bad for him.
First of all,
I was like, why are you taking
why did they come for y'all so bad?
I don't know. I feel attacked.
I was like, let me drop the mic.
I feel attacked.
The girl hasn't even got into a mischief yet. Like,
and also his voice was like shaking a little bit. They were like, yeah, but it's men too. They're not providing for these women.
The statistics
like,
are sending me though. Where did he get 73% from? I feel like they just bring statistics into it. Like,
no. Let's talk about domestic violence in the Muslim community then. If we want to talk about feminism, forget all of that. You know what made me laugh? I was like, this woman has just entered
Islam. Oh, it was about
she hasn't even
Islam.
Prayed a salah yet. Like, how are you starting off with marriage?
She hasn't put that hijab on yet. She hasn't done anything.
It's just,
I don't know. New Muslims, I'm like, literally, you know, the beginning stages of when you become a Muslim is so like, Yeah. And then the next day, it's like, everyone's like, do this. And I'm just like, I can't imagine.
The girl is not ready for marriage. How are you going to talk about marriage to her, Miss Skinta?
But I'm, do you know what? It compelled the other from the Digital Sisterhood to chime in. I'm glad she did.
Did she? Ada
chimed in.
Yeah, one thing about Ada, she's not giving me.
She was fuming. I'm fuming.
I was like, why are you coming for us podcast girls? What have we done to you?
Exactly.
What did they say?
And also, there's such a small minority of podcast girls. So he's literally at-ing someone.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
So Ada was like, this is my issue with what was said, using feminism as a scapegoat to delegitimize the valid concerns and issue women are having in their homes. Nobody holds accountable.
Right.
It just blames women.
Right.
And she went on to say the divorce rates do suck and it makes everybody and it makes nobody happy. But until women are heard and respected, the issue will continue. And I believe men are the maintainers of women. So maintain your women, handle them with care, love and respect to the best of your abilities. And everything else that is outside of your control, charge it to the game.
Period.
And she was like, you tried, but please don't be short-sighted to think that feminism is the only drive and reason for women being unhappy and wanting a divorce. Right. That's wishful thinking and kind of the worst kind. It's also quite dangerous.
Very.
It's so horrible.
It's very diverse.
I'm so surprised that he didn't mention the lack of financial support from men being one of the key.
There's no accountability.
But it kills me though, because if we're being real right now, right?
Because if we're actually being real.
If we're being real, the problem we have right now with podcasts is male podcasts. Like,
yeah, like
there's like this many podcasts that are being run by women. And even then, it's like super beneficial. Like, first of all, let's talk about TDS has been life changing for so many people.
Storytelling.
And also the concepts and the stuff they talk about, everything returns back to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Like, that's the premise of the podcast.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes what it is men are so afraid of women having voices.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I think that's what it boils down to.
Exactly.
And advising each other.
Exactly. Because, well, having a voice is powerful.
Yeah.
So there's like fear that comes with that of like, oh, we don't want them to have control in these certain spaces.
They just don't want them to be in these spaces.
But it's like, women want to, I mean, if y'all are not going to talk about our issues, we're going to talk about our issues.
Exactly.
Like, why do we address?
It's so one-sided, though. We hear every day men on podcasts talking about women this, women that.
Or hijab, or things that they have no understanding about.
That has nothing to do with them. They don't even struggle with it. Why are you talking about it?
You know what comes up on my TikTok a lot now? Like, every time I scroll through, it'll be a TikTok live, and the topic will be something like, should women in Islam cook and clean? Like, are they required to cook and clean? And it's like a whole back and forth about this. And I'm like, this is what y'all are sitting here talking about.
Pay my bills and I will cook and clean.
And then,
simple.
And then you have the cheek to talk about like what women are doing a podcast. And then to bring that up to a person who just converted is crazy to me.
Like, she is a baby. She is literally, guys,
hasn't
even come into Islam properly. How sad. How is that not going to put her off?
No, I'm like, her sins are forgiven. They're trying to bring one up.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
They're trying to create sins,
they're trying to create sins.
They're like, no, we're dragging you down to our level.
She has a clean slate. They're so mad. They're
like, literally, the first day, her sins are gone, and you're trying to do her like that. Like, that's how you know.
No, I'm glad that she was, like, quiet throughout the whole thing as well. Yeah. Because, like,
her face is making
more. She was just, like, shocked.
Yeah.
But she's just like, are men like this everywhere? Like, everywhere?
No, literally, no matter what religion, what sex, whatever.
They are the same.
That's actually wild.
No, it was all kicking off. TDS got involved. I'm glad Ada shut that down.
1,000%. Because they fear her podcast. Because, like,
her audience is huge. Yeah. I don't fear her podcast. Yeah. I don't want to be dragged on TDS, Dad.
No way.
Like, you say something, world. You're done.
It's over. Overshare is finished.
Oh my God, that's a Muslim world finished.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Oh my God, okay. Anyway, may Allah bless him and bless her and continue to give her all the hasanat that she deserves. Because we love that.
She's incredible. She's actually the one who inspired me to get a new Quran.
Me too. Yeah. I said that last week in the podcast. Yeah. An English translation.
Yeah, I got a new English translation. It's so nice. And
can
I'm like, literally.
Can we just
literally
talk about that for a second?
So crazy.
Is it not mad? I was thinking about this. Yeah, I was like, all my life of learning Quran.
Yeah.
I've never read an English translation back to front.
Me too.
Same.
Me too.
Not back to front.
Not back to front, yeah. No.
Like, I don't even know what certain surahs in the middle are, I'll be honest.
Isn't that much? And the way that we were taught Quran as well is we were taught to read it and then we're left to our own devices.
Yeah.
Yeah,
literally.
For us to memorize.
Yeah.
When I went to Duxie, it was just
memorization.
It's a madness.
It's just memorization. Read and make sure like you're done your asha before you come.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, and nothing.
And you're like the night before, you're just there like trying to learn it, and then you just come in, boom, done.
Right? Yeah, literally. But the substance of it was never really
like
really
the tafsir of it, the meaning. Yeah. Like, if I knew I could read this in English and fully indulge it like a book that I would read, wouldn't that be amazing?
It's amazing though. But when you see how they read the Quran and how it inspires them and they quickly revert, I'm like, I'm missing something.
Right.
I'm like, literally, what's wrong with me? I've been Muslim for literally
my whole life.
And why am I not feeling like that same sense of Iman that.
Yeah, I think because we take it for granted.
We do.
So much.
We're so used to it.
It's part of every day. Yeah. But I'm going to put you guys on. There's a Quran called the Majestic Quran that I purchased last Ramadan. And it's amazing. I was telling you about it last week. And it's blue. I don't know if you guys have seen it online. I just saw it as a sponsored post on Instagram.
Oh, no way.
And I remember seeing that it was free. So I just purchased it. And it's good. It's really good because they have the summary at the top. So they tell you what everything that's going to happen in the surah at the top. And then it goes into line by line translation. But it's like a very simple version.
To read and understand. Yeah. I love that.
It's so good.
I love that. The one that I got is each word is underneath each Arabic word.
Oh.
It has the actual word translated.
Oh, that's
so that you can understand what you're reading. And then on the side, it has like the English translation.
Oh, the actual translation.
Yeah, so I was like, and the commentary as well, a little bit.
So good.
So I was like,
is that
good.
The Tajweed one?
I think it is. I'm going to show you the name of it. I've shared it on my Instagram, but it's really, Megan Rice is changing lives.
I know, she really is.
I was like, girl, you've got me reading the Quran like a book.
She talks about it, because you're like, damn, what, I need to go back to reading the Quran. You start feeling a bit guilty.
Yeah, definitely. But alhamdulillah, she's so blessed.
So
the amount of ajr she's gonna get for inspiring so many Muslims and non-Muslims
like all over the world.
Imagine.
Subhanallah.
And that all started from a conflict.
Subhanallah.
Isn't that crazy? Subhanallah.
Even Palestinians too.
Anyway, Swella. Lovely.
Swella
Braverman's gone.
Don't know if you know about our Home Secretary, but she was sacked.
I heard she got booted.
Got booted. But the person that came to take over.
It's not any better, I heard. Yeah.
It's not any better. I mean, now David Cameron's back, and I'm just like, girl, I just can't even deal with it. It's like when an old villain from a soap opera comes back.
Yeah.
It's like, why?
Someone was saying it's like a telenovela.
Literally, it's EastEnders. It's like Dirty Den coming back from EastEnders. It's too much.
Do you see them trying to. Did you see on Twitter they tried to get press charges on the girl that had a sign that said something about calling her a
coconut? I saw that sign alive at the protest.
Did you?
I saw it and my sister laughed at it, and I was like, we were both laughing at the sign because we thought it was funny. Tell me why.
We saw it.
She was like a little bit ahead of us, and then I came home and I saw it on like the Metropolitan Police's Twitter page saying, have you seen this woman, blah blah blah. I shared it with my sister and she's dying. She's like, what the hell is going on?
Literally,
I was like, someone goes, leave it to the brown people.
No, let someone's like, why are you in brown people's business? I was crying.
Crying.
Just like, they always call each other coconut. I don't think that was a racial slur. I don't think it is.
Well, it was like what we used to say to each other just to take the piss out of each other.
I don't think
like
that's a racial slur.
Like that
is not
say,
a
like,
racial slur.
Oh yeah,
similar
yeah,
to coconut,
yeah.
But they'd be like, you're an Oreo.
Yeah. But just for context, so the girl at the protest was holding a sign with a coconut tree, and the coconut tree had coconuts that were on the tree, and there were some on the floor. But the ones on the floor had the faces of Rishi Sunak and Suella Braverman.
It's giving coconut.
And then the Metropolitan Police obviously flagged coconut. That as a hate crime.
First of all, the fact that they're there taking photos of people's signs.
I know.
It's so crazy to me. Like, what?
In my pocket,
like, they're there undercover or something.
They
like,
are,
though.
They all are undercover. It's so scary.
Wait, the people that are taking pictures of the signs are undercover police.
Yeah, they're undercover police.
Do you think they're normal police officers? They're
oh, my God.
But if you take it in, though, she was posing, like.
Yeah.
The whole time I was a cop.
Oh, my God. That is
actually
so crazy.
Because she was cheesing in the photo. Like, she's so happy.
Literally.
So it was
so you have to ask, where are you from?
So that man said, let me take a photo of you. Smile.
I'm safe. Guys, they were next to us. There were undercover police officers next to us taking photos.
There was this girl on TikTok that talked about, she was Iraqi, and she was like, she was on a train, she was wearing like a Palestinian flag and everything, and she had her headphones on, and she was like, basically this white guy and a brown guy came on and they were wearing normal clothes, but because she clocked, they were undercover police. So they came up to her and they were like to her, and this is during the Saturday protest, and then they were like to her, oh, so are you going to that Palestine protest?
Oh, that's
the way they speak.
So
yeah. And
funny.
She was like, yeah. And he was like, so what are you gonna be like throwing things on that? Is the way he was speaking.
Oh, they were trying to make it seem like they were like
down with the kids.
And then she was like, no, we're not gonna throw anything, it's peaceful. And he goes, no, but two of my other friends are they're gonna be making sure that they do stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's the way he was talking in that dirty, disgusting accent.
Yeah, it was so weird.
And then she was just like, I don't wanna speak now, can you go away? And he goes, No, just tell me more about Palestine, innit?
No, what are you gonna and then afterwards?
Yeah, and then afterwards literally. He was like, are you gonna go do your prayers? She was like, what?
That is so weird.
And she goes, the brown guy didn't say anything the whole time. He was quiet. It was just the white police officer that was saying it.
They're harassing
people. That brown
people.
Man is just trying to get his bills paid.
He's trying to get his bills
paid. No, but guys, come on. Is that not harassment?
He was like, are you going to do your prayers? And like, she's going to be going like this.
What
the hell?
No, that's weird.
She was like, that's when I clocked that they were.
I didn't even realize that there were undercover police officers there. We were just,
in Suella's home secretary government.
I kid you not, that was the most peaceful protest I've ever been to in my life.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah.
It's really, so really trying to create a whole
fit now.
Yeah.
It's wild. That's crazy though.
Yeah, it made me laugh. She was like, I don't know where you're trying to get at.
Did you guys see the video of the far right guys?
Yeah.
Go back to your country. And the guy was like, I was born here.
You know what made me laugh? I just thought that is like a mid-level manager in someone's company right now that is raging like that.
Isn't
that so
crazy? They look like people that we see every day at work.
That we work with.
No way.
On an everyday basis. Like someone's vice and director or something.
And like
you know
every
I mean?
Other word was like, see you next Tuesday.
He was like, see you next Tuesday.
And then he was like to the guy, I was born in this country. I was born in this country. He goes, I was born here too. What's your point?
Someone was like, how they were wearing, I think, Arsenal jersey or something. It was, and they're like, literally, the sponsor for your team is a Muslim country. So like,
oh my god,
give me a break.
Like,
someone goes, you should have been a Chelsea supporter. And I was like, huh? Okay, right. Should we move on to our scenarios?
Time
a break. Are you okay?
No, I'm good.
Some water. So where's this jacket from? We love
Zara.
That. Oh, is it like this?
Beautiful.
It's
from the men's
no.
section.
Oh, no, this is
very
nice.
It's so nice, right?
Yeah.
Girl, the men's section eats. Like, ooh. I don't even.
This
you
is
know,
nice, and it doesn't even look like a man's jacket.
Right? I just love it because they always
what
have like a nice oversized.
Medium?
I think
large.
No, medium.
I've been getting sweatshirts from the men's section recently.
It's so nice.
And the quality is better than
way
the women's
better.
Quality.
Because you know the one for women's, it's always fitted or like,
yeah.
If you don't find your size, and they never have like a large or extra large.
I
and
can
I'm
never
just
buy
like,
trousers.
But I feel like they use more thread on men's clothes. I don't know why.
They care about men's clothes more.
Trousers from Zara is
it's
actually
my,
a death sentence.
It's my enemy. It's my enemy.
Oh.
It's
every
my
time
enemy.
I go in there, I'm like, do I have body dysmorphia?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, what the hell's wrong with me?
I have not been.
I'm like, where's his belly? I'm like, there's no way. And I'm like, they just don't.
But
their sizes
medium
are
medium sizes change.
It changes all the time. Trouser size changes.
Yeah, all the time.
It's a joke.
It only fits if it has like elastic.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If it's like that's why I'm like, I just shop in the men's section now. Like,
I don't even buy trousers from there anymore.
I don't buy trousers.
Even anymore. Trousers for men, you can get like really nice trousers.
I feel
really?
Like as East African
ASOS,
women,
yeah.
Right? No
way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always
men.
Thought
no.
Their crotches
from the
would be
men's section.
No, well, you can
say so smart.
No, see, I just thought. I think I did it once.
I just thought
it would
be very
really
straight
nice.
Fit.
But you know like how now like really, really baggy jeans are in?
Yeah.
But a lot of the times like it'll be fitted on the waist, but then it looks weird if you have like an hourglass figure.
Yeah.
So if you get it from the men's section, like you can just cinch the waist, but everything else will be baggy. So you can get it tailored.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking
Hanan
for
Hanan is putting us all on, guys. You better not sell this out in Zara. I'm just
Hanan,
saying.
Hanan, answer me this. Joggers for women.
Where do I get them?
Because what tends to happen with me is they always
fit too much on the bum.
Yeah, they're so
yeah. It's that way too tight on the bum.
I don't like
like
that.
It's so bum and I'm like, this doesn't even, it's not doing what it's supposed
and
to do.
And you have this really weird shape.
Yeah. It's meant to be
and
loose.
It looks like tight on my thigh.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm
that's
like, these, it's not moving like
issue.
Sweats at
do
all.
Do you reckon men's section joggers would be better for us?
I think men joggers as well. You just get a smaller size.
Yeah.
Like everything for men, you just
you
get a smaller
really
size.
You really put me on. I'm actually being serious.
Yeah. Yeah. Even sweaters for men, like literally, wallah, like sweaters, I'll get it for men. Because even for women, if it's oversized, it still looks a bit like odd on the shoulder. But if you just get a size small for men. Like,
I'm not going to lie. I once bought a small H&M male blazer. And that's
game
that's
changer,
still
right?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. And they've got the padded
shoulders.
Girl, when the blazer trend happened, I just took my brother's suit.
That's so clever.
Oh, like my dad's
suit. Padded bit. My uncle's blazer.
Yeah.
You saw my uncle's blazer.
Literally, and it works. It looks good. Like, yeah, like you can get away with it. No one will ever know.
The only annoying thing is obviously the sleeves are really long, but that's kind of like a flex.
It's still in, yeah.
Like
that's
it's
literally the style.
Like
yeah, me too.
Okay, first scenario. Let's go. So this one's called, this is from Muslim Reddit, and it's called Coping with Loneliness as a Muslimah. Right, let's go. She goes, recently, more than ever, I've started to elevate my friendship circle. I have very few friends, and mainly two I keep in contact with, my sister-in-law as well as my best friend of nearly 10 years, an online friend. And a few weeks ago, I was, as much as I hate to say it, depressed with the fact how my social life is non-existent. All my friends are overseas, online, and while my older sister said that we are sisters and we're friends, it's not really the same. I remember a time when a potential I was talking to had spoken highly of his friends and trips that they'd go on, and I remember sitting there thinking how I wish I had such a circle in my life too. It gets really lonely these days where no one's online like today. There are either there aren't sisters at my local masjid that are basically my age, or they're not practicing Muslim, as I engaging in halal dating, talking to the opposite sex, pretty much deal breaker stuff for me in regards to friendships. So for sisters or even brothers that are experiencing something similar, how do you cope with loneliness?
Oh my God, this is so relatable.
I feel so bad.
This is so relatable.
I'm not gonna lie, I felt really lonely in high school. I feel like I was that person that used to like be friends with everyone, but I never had like deep sensual friend, like sensual that
sensual relationships.
I never had like deep rooted friendships that had like this is your bestie. Right. I only got that, I would say, after I finished high school and like I went to college, and that's when I like gained those friends. So yeah, I do, I kind of agree with it a little bit. It's
it
hard.
Is hard.
It
I
is
think
hard.
I definitely have dealt with that. Like as soon as I moved here, it took time to adjust, and I went through like extreme loneliness the first year because I didn't know anyone. And then also when you're in your late 20s, it's so much harder to make friends because people already have their groups.
Yeah, 100%. Girl.
So meshing into a group, they're like, who are you?
Who are you?
Literally.
Shower experiences.
You know what I mean? And then also like restarting your life. You don't know who to trust or who to open up to.
It's harder,
like,
when,
it's
you're
harder
older.
When you're
it's
older.
It's so much harder when
it's
you're
so
older.
Much harder. And I think that there is an epidemic of loneliness now because we're so, some of us are chronically online.
Yeah.
And like rely on online relationships. But then outside of that, there's no one that we talk to or are friends with.
Yeah. Some people like just don't know how to.
Or don't know how to. So yeah, I definitely relate to that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't even think of it like that.
I feel like I'm not gonna lie, alhamdulillah, I feel blessed now.
Yeah.
That I've got a core group of friends that, even though now that they've kind of like, most of them have like moved away and they've gone abroad and everyone's kind of living their own lives.
Right.
But you're right, you know, it is kind of online because you're on WhatsApp groups and Instagram groups and TikTok groups.
Yeah.
But occasionally we see each other like, nowadays in there's five of us left including Kultun, and what we do like every Friday we'll try and like plan an activity to
but that's
together.
If we
but
manage
that's if
to
yeah.
do it works out and life allows
so the rest
us
of the week
and
we're just lonely
us.
And it's my friends and my work colleagues, which is sad.
Yeah.
Or
like
you FaceTime people.
Yeah, FaceTime as well, it's another
like
one.
Group FaceTime really takes the loneliness away sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's sad that is the only interaction you have, especially if you're working
yeah
a full-time job and like you have a family or like
yeah.
it's just crazy.
I think, do you know what it is, I think group FaceTime is a great buffer. It's nice that we have the option to do that, but it's so much nicer when we all manage to meet up and see each other.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's just
so much happier.
Yeah.
I don't know, I feel like it's just a palate cleanser.
Yeah,
you genuinely feel much more happier
yeah
when you see people that you relate to.
Yeah.
So she's basically said, I feel lonely, how can I combat this? I would say,
do you know what it is, she mentioned specific things, like there aren't any sisters at the local masjid that are around her age, or they're not practicing Muslimas, i.e. they engage in halal dating, talking to the opposite sex, pretty much deal breaker stuff. For
she needs
her
to get the right halal
gonna,
haram
ratio.
Yeah, I was about to say, sometimes like if you're so strict on finding certain types of friends, you're literally going to be isolated forever.
It's exactly the same as what you were saying earlier about
it's
having
like
high
expectations. I think sometimes when you're like, oh, all my friends have to be like super halal.
Yeah.
First of all, that's not fair because we're humans.
Yeah.
We're meant to sin. Like we're not... It's in our fitra. We're not meant to be perfect. So
we're
I think
infallible.
When you exactly. So you might actually be literally blocking your blessings from meeting someone who could actually
but
be
you can
such
help.
An incredible
change
person
life.
Or change your life. And you might be the reason why they change and not like
exactly.
do that sin anymore or
exactly.
whatever. Exactly. Like you don't know. Like
you
know,
might guide them.
Yeah, I really don't believe in this whole thing of like having to find people who are exactly
who are
like you or practicing or.
I think everyone should be. But I mean, I get it. She wants that. She wants the medium of halal to haram ratio. Yeah. I get it. But it's like, you're not going to find everyone.
No.
Yeah. You have to be open to
finding good people.
Yeah.
Just there's good loads people. Of good people out there. There's loads of good sisters out there.
Yeah. But it is hard. And I think that right now, when I said chronically online, what you see online is what people believe is reality.
Yeah.
Even if you know it's not real in your mind, you're like, this is real life.
Like social media.
Social media, exactly. Yeah. So you see on TikTok, like people going out and hanging out or people on their stories with their friends, and you're like, I don't have friends. But the same people that are going out are dealing with what you're dealing with, but it's just
a different way.
It's a facade, you know?
Yeah.
They might not even be close to these people, but are just posting. And
although that's probably the first time they saw them in a month.
You know what I mean? Exactly. We don't know the stories behind it,
but
unfortunately, it is a very common thing.
It's romanticizing.
Literally romanticizing.
A lot of people.
Yeah. But I think loneliness is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's not. And if you find things to do,
I've discovered more of myself.
You'll find yourself.
Do you know what I mean? And also, I feel like when I was a teenager and in my early 20s, I really relied on going out a lot and going out with friends, and I needed people to keep me company, to make me happy.
Yeah, same.
And it wasn't until I got married and I had children and I was forced to be lonely.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm judging you girls. But I was like, they had a different lifestyle to me compared to what I was living in that period of time. So I had a baby. It was very hard for me to go out at that point when you've got a newborn.
Yeah.
So that kind of forced me to rediscover things that I liked about myself.
Exactly.
Or like just chilling and watching TV or going for a nice walk or just doing my own thing. Now I do, every time I go out, I'm always like to me, I'm just having my me time. That's where it came from, just like rediscovering myself. So you're right. You don't always have to be around people, but I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's like, you've got to find a good balance between being chronically lonely, rediscovering yourself, and also actively trying to make
friends.
Connections.
You've got to go out there.
Yeah,
it doesn't necessarily, you don't have to have the intention of making a friend. It could just be an acquaintance, a connection.
Right.
You could just go to your local coffee shop one day on your own and decide, I'm going to speak to someone today by force or by phone.
Well, like, go to events. Go to fun events that people are going to be around.
Yeah.
But you just have to step out of
your comfort zone, literally, and be open to meeting new people.
Yeah.
I feel like if you restrict yourself from it, it's kind of like you're literally blocking your blessings.
Exactly.
Like, I used to have that mentality of, oh, if I don't know them,
what am I gonna say?
Yeah. What am I? But then I broke that barrier, and now I'm literally meeting people who follow me and like going out for coffees and creating friends. Like,
you get to a thing where basically, like, in the beginning, it's always tough because it's like you've never done this before. It's out of your comfort zone. But then the more you start speaking to people that you've never spoken to before, the easier it gets.
Yeah,
right?
Literally, I've gone on so many first dates with women here.
Yeah,
since being here.
I love that Fiona.
I saw that you met Nadira.
Like, I'm just very much in the beginning when I first moved, I was obviously very used to like my own. I have my solid like core friends.
Yeah.
So me leaving them and being here was hard. Sure. I was like, oh my God, I can't just pick up the phone and be like, hey, let's go out. You know, so that was like a huge adjustment. And then like seeing my husband go out with like his core group of friends, I'm like,
triggered.
Like, I'm so triggered. I was like, can I go?
You guys,
you know what I mean?
All day and off.
Literally. But alhamdulillah, like when I moved and people found out I moved to the UK, so many girls reached out and were like, would love. In the beginning, I was kind of like, okay.
I mean,
what could I do?
I never.
I'm shy.
Like,
look, Crystal. I'm so shy. Oh my God.
I would be too.
But now, alhamdulillah, I think that I've gone past that. And like, I'll go on these first dates, and sometimes after I hang out with one person, I'm like, okay, I'm never gonna see this person again.
Because
I'm like, oh, we have nothing in common. Yeah. But you're cool, but we have nothing in common. Yeah. And then I'll meet someone else, and I'm like, oh my God, we like have so much in common. And then it just like leads
and
to
it
like,
just goes from
like, yeah.
It's like you've got self awareness, you know who you like, who you're not gonna really hang out with again.
Yeah.
It's normal.
But that self awareness comes from
exploring
and like the loneliness, because when I was in my stage of like loneliness, which I'm kind of still in and out of, I learned so much about myself and like my personality, what I like, what I don't like. And so when I met these people, I was okay, we align here. So I feel like this will work well. But alhamdulillah, like, I think you just have to honestly step out of your comfort zone and just be okay with being
social
uncomfortable.
Anxiety. It's annoying, but
you gotta break it.
But it's mostly in your
brain.
It's
in your head.
It's you. How many times have me and Colton gone to events, and we're the first few times we went, we're like, oh my God, we're just gonna stand in the corner and just talk to ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, and then we're like, no, we can't do that. That's so weird. So we're like, we have to force ourselves to go and speak to people. And we were dying inside.
Yeah, dying.
But we did it, and we had the best time.
The best time.
And we met so many people. It was so lit. Is that me?
Yeah, but also you have another thing that I realize, especially about myself, is I always have like peaks and troughs of like when I'm feeling confident.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'm feeling so confident, I'm like, before my period, yeah, to anyone here.
Definitely.
And then other times I'm just like, damn, if I'm PMSing, like fumbling, I can't even speak. Yeah. I'm sweating.
Literally, literally.
If I'm PMSing, just no conversation ain't working. My words don't even come out right. So
yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Like sometimes I feel like I'm on top of the world, and sometimes I'm just like,
I'm telling you, it's all linked to your menstrual cycle, guys. I've been reading this. When just before your period starts, you are on top of the world, your skin is nice, your body is selling you to the world, saying procreate me, which means I'm gonna make you more pretty, more confident, you get more sleep.
Yeah,
scientific.
Damn. I've seen actually pictures, I don't know if you saw, where like the face, her face is skinnier, when she's like,
and like your face transforms. Yeah, like her face was completely different from the beginning of her cycle to the end of her cycle.
Do you think that's got something to do with how sometimes when you do your makeup you're like, wow, I look great, and
some days you look snatched, right?
Sometimes you're like, wow, and then some days
your skin
like,
is just like, you've got like pores coming
exact
up.
Same
happened.
Why is it
like you're
coming
trying to
out?
Contour, but there's no contouring happening?
Yeah, you did the exact same steps.
Like my face is coming out. For me, it's like the spots on my forehead, they protrude.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
Like, why is my jaw was snatched last week when like, I did the same look?
Had no texture. Where is the texture coming
from?
Not much.
That's crazy. A woman's body as well.
I know. But you know what it is? Just to come back to loneliness, I genuinely feel like, especially now, I was talking to my mum about this, and she was like to me how back in the day in Somalia, Hamad, before it became religious, they used to have so many events for young people. Yeah. They used to go out, go watch theatres, art shows. They used to have so much on.
Yeah.
And I just feel like we don't have that.
Yeah.
Especially for Muslim women. We don't have those experiences. And I feel like...
And if they if they are happening, I also feel like they're not...
Accessible.
Like, you don't really hear,
yeah,
I don't really
hear
about
them
that often.
Or like
you'll
hear about it when
it ends.
Yeah.
Certain groups will know.
Yeah.
So that's like actually so true. I think that's why when there are, for example, TDS is a perfect example. When they have events, the show out is amazing.
Yeah.
Because we don't have. Yeah, exactly.
Like anyone can come.
Yeah.
Anyone can come, but also there's not a lot of those events. Where do you get loads? Unless people are doing live shows.
Yeah.
That's actually so true.
And in this environment, like let's say TDS, there's not a lot of Muslim women doing this.
Yeah.
Or hosting events that isn't music related.
Right.
But just people connecting, and having a good time, and like you get to go to an art show or poetry or just have like fun or sip and paint. You know?
Some type of networking.
Yeah. It's not always. So yeah, I just feel like that's something a lot of our cultures are missing.
Yeah.
So you never know.
We definitely need to organize more of those.
Yeah.
Right? Wouldn't it be fun?
I think it would be on my Instagram's broadcast channel. It's so cute because there's a bunch of people on there. If you're watching this, then you guys know
hey,
it's so cute. But on there, we were just like, for Ramadan, I'm like, we should do like a sip and paint where I can actually meet you guys.
Well, you should. Yeah. And you can teach us how to do this.
So I was
that
like,
would be so good.
Either that or a book club for Ramadan. And they all voted, majority voted book club. So I was like, okay, we'll do book club.
I was like,
what happened to the art?
Right?
What are you saying?
But I was like, I think you guys want offended. But I was like, okay, because I used to have a Bookstagram page as well, recommend books and stuff. So I was like, maybe they just, I don't know. Anyways, we're
if
gonna
we
do that.
Can read, I'm down for both. I'm coming to both, but I really want to do the painting because I feel
I want to do the sip and
everyone
paint.
Has an artistic side. Yeah. And I want to get mine.
I feel like I'd need your help. I just hold my hand while I stroke the canvas with the brush.
I feel like that would be so fun.
That would be so good, and also. You know who does a book really good book club? Amalia does a good book club.
Yes, I've heard of them.
I would love to go to.
Yeah, I would love
everything
to go
good
to.
Is always in East London.
Yes, that's another
and
issue.
And I just can't that travel having. That far.
Isn't that far for you guys?
I just can't.
You don't understand.
Girl, I literally came from Birmingham. Do you see me complaining?
I know, but I just, honestly, I don't
she
know.
Shut us up.
Hello?
Like, people from London kill me. Like, you guys complain about going from West to East?
To be fair to us, we discovered the Innisfluth line recently.
Yeah, we did.
And it took us
20
minutes.
Is it that far?
20 minutes to get to East London. But can I say something, Kat? Traffic 5:30 to 7 o'clock going to East London is like going to Birmingham.
No, but that's if you go
via
car.
If you buy a car, it's like going to Birmingham. It's like 2 hours.
Just take the train, girl. Why are you... Why are you killing yourself?
We recently discovered it, so
a certain tube line. But also, do you know what it is? It's just really cold at the moment, and I always find there's loads
it's
of
my
things
anemia.
Happening
yeah.
around this time of year. It's my anemia.
It's my anemia.
You know what though? Once you start driving, you cannot go back.
Exactly.
No. When I started driving, I did not touch our tube line in Toronto for years.
Like, oh my god.
When I stepped into it the first time, I was shaking it a little bit. I was like, "What's going on?" Girl, this summer when I went, I was
it's like,
yeah.
"Once you drive, you can't go back." You and also, once back. You've driven before, you are going to rely on your friends to drive
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
I cannot.
That's you.
I cannot take the Elizabeth life. I'm joking. I don't actually mind taking the Elizabeth life.
But yeah, that's a really good book club. But you know what I want? Recently, I was into loads of romantic books, but now I want to discover Muslim, like halal romantic books.
Mm. There's a bunch.
Anyway, I really want some halal romantic books. Because why not? We're trying to halalify the podcast.
We are.
Oh my God. All right, okay, one more scenario. Have you got anything you want to tell us?
Yeah, I feel
anything you want to advertise?
No.
Anything you want to talk about? Like, what's been going on, Hannah?
I don't know, girl.
She's like, it's your show.
Like, literally,
she's like,
your
what's
show?
Going on? Don't look at me.
Anything I want to talk about? I don't know.
Guys, can you check out Hannah's art, please? It's amazing. Thank you.
Well, I literally was talking about my hijab journey and how I'm trying to cover my edges. Okay, I know they're not that covered right now, but I'm trying to get
you're
there.
Getting that, you're getting that.
So I was talking to one of my friends about how hijab looks so different for everyone and everyone's on
a
different trajectories of hijab. But I feel like the older you get, the more you start to solidify your understanding of hijab and like what it means to you. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm kind of at that stage and it's so nice.
Yeah.
Now I want to wear undercaps. Now I want to discover. So anyways, I'm at that stage of my life right now, which is really nice.
Yeah. I'm still not 100% there.
Can I just say though, I only recently discovered undercaps. Before I found them very
annoying,
very hard to manage.
I still find them
annoying. I would lose the colors that I needed for the hijabs that I needed. Recently, when I started wearing undercaps again, because I felt like it really maintained the bush, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, how am I wearing a black hijab and my undercap is pink?
Yeah,
like,
you can't
I'm
do
just
that.
Like, like, what is this? No, you can't come out with that.
But there's, you know what I just know? There's certain hijabis that it just looks so sleek. Okay. When they wear undercuffs, I'm like, how do you make it look like that? Because when I do it, it looks like, you know, the hijabs we wore when we were five?
Yeah.
Like the one piece that looks like the two piece?
Yeah.
That's what it looks
That's
like on
me. That's like
me
when I wear a jersey like this. My face?
Girl, don't get me started on jersey. I literally made an Instagram post about this. I'm like, guys,
jersey.
I look like an egg.
Like an egg? What?
Yeah! I'm like, I literally look like an
You've
egg.
You've got a nice slim face.
Do you know what it is with jerseys, though? It's the way you wear them. You have to wear them quite relaxed and loose.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I like to go like this.
That's the thing. That's my problem.
But with chiffon, I used to be a chiffon girl.
I'm a chiffon girl.
Chiffon does this to you.
Yeah.
Because you're like, tuck it in.
Oh, is that?
Because it's quite.
This is years of erosion
material.
On my skin.
Oh my God.
Hannah.
Do I have that?
No.
I don't even know.
I'm using salicylic
it's
acid.
Like, you know how she tucks it on? She puts
no, but
it on
I had like a really tight
hijab.
You did it tight.
Yeah, and then I used to just tuck it in. So this is from 17 to 29.
Oh my God.
I got
this is why I stopped being a chiffon girl.
Yeah.
Someone commented on my thing and said, I only wear chiffon and I wear it so tight that it chokes me. And I commented and I'm like, girl, that's not safe.
Yeah,
I'm like, why?
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Like, I'm like, why are you killing yourself with your
I started
that's
getting
true,
the mark as well.
Yeah.
Did you get the mark? I started getting it. That's why I stopped.
I genuinely, to you guys, I genuinely thought I had cancer. Allahu alam. Allah.
SubhanAllah. Well, why did you make it that tight though?
I don't know. It was just routine, guys. It wasn't even that tight. Wallah. It's like, you know when you scrape it
in and then
you tuck it in? The tuck created this dark
pigmentation.
Mark. So I thought, what is going on?
Because
like,
you're constantly pushing on the skin.
And it's rough.
And it's like very hard. And I was like, guys, I think I've got skin cancer. Like, what is this?
SubhanAllah.
I just looked at my skin one day and it's dark.
But the day you discovered that it was the hijab that was doing that to
one
you,
day.
Best believe.
I was
I
like,
said no
it was
more.
Like a light bulb. I was like,
but
like,
do you know who do you know who wears chiffon hijabs really well? That I literally sat down and watched the TikTok tutorial.
Yasmin.
Yeah,
but shall I tell you Yasmin?
Which Yasmin?
You know, okay Yasmin.
Oh yes.
But
yes.
You know okay Yasmin's trick.
Mashallah.
The cap and the hijab
match.
No, they match, but they're stuck
the hijab
together.
Tape. The hijab tape, right? Or is it?
No, it's the hijab tape, but she also I think there's this other girl who's a hijabi who owns a brand. That the cap and the chiffon
about.
Hijab.
Oh, so it's not two.
It's
like
one piece. It's a one piece together, but
attached.
It looks like a two piece.
This whole time,
universal.
But wait, there's another thing that Yasmin
Masha
does.
Allah.
What does Yasmin do?
So you know how a chiffon is a very annoying material to play around with because it moves a lot. So what she does is she safety pins it to her shoulder so it doesn't move
around. That beautiful drape. Her hijabs always look 10-10.
Intentional. MashaAllah. And I said, I'm going to do this one day. But
I need to know what she does under her hijab. Is it slick down her hair? I need to know what people are doing with their hair.
Yeah. No, because honestly.
Because sometimes when you have the bump or if it's too puffy here, it just looks funny. So I'm like, what are y'all doing underneath? Like,
it must be a slick pony.
Has to be a slick, right?
Yeah. Sometimes I don't slick though and it looks
I need
fine.
To do something though that's less abrasive for my hair because that slick down is causing that receding hair.
I remember asking Aisha Ahmad about satin bonnets, you know, the one the undercaps with the satin lines, and she said that she prefers the other one over the satin ones. But in my head,
the other one
is it cotton, I think it's cotton, the regular
cotton one, she said she prefers that. So what am I supposed to do, because I'm really worried about
You can wear a do-rag. Sometimes I'll wear a do-rag under my hijab and then maybe put the Or is that, I guess, redundant? It's kind
of. I just want something that protects my edges,
My edges, girl.
Mm. You know what I do sometimes, though? I'm actually really lazy, but this has worked for me. So my bonnet, I'll bring it up here, and then I'll let my edges come out like that at nighttime. And then the bonnet, I'll just tie it at the back with a little hairband, and it stays the whole night.
Yeah. Oh, I let them breathe as well.
Yeah.
But you guys have small foreheads. I can't have.
I do not, girl. I don't know how this all works. No, I know. Trust me.
I can't do none of these cute baby hairstyles. I can't do that.
Hannah's like, no, I'm repping the East African forehead.
I cannot catfish people. I let it all out so they know, right?
Because this is me.
The day I take off my hijab, there's no shock. You know? What happened? No. Everything's out. You know where it starts. You know
this is me. This is my true form, guys.
I just came out, and my one's just like.
Cotton, yours is not bad. I'll tell you what, Cotton's for. Cotton's forehead.
Don't describe my forehead. It's, you know, very what? Every person's forehead. Everyone, every East African person thinks their forehead's big because it's a relative thing.
Yeah.
I think it suits your face though.
Did you see that girl on TikTok? I was dying when she was talking about her hairline receding. The Somali girl. She's so funny. No, she's like, guys, my hairline is literally doing a pilgrimage right now. Like, I don't know what to do. She's like, I need help. Help me.
Long.
I know
my edges are mad.
Yeah, I've noticed loads of flyaways at the front. That isn't even the baby hairs, it's my actual hair.
Like, why am I suffering? I don't even have my hair out. Like,
I think it's
so
time
deep.
To like hop on minoxidil. I've been hearing about minoxidil and
really?
I think it's like
really? No, I'm scared of that because I heard that once you start taking it, you can't stop.
Why not?
One of my friends is using it, and mashallah.
What, the hairs? The baby hairs are baby
hairs. Like, it's insane. Like, so much hair grew. Wow. And then she, like, recommended it to me. She was like, but, like, you can't stop using it. And I was like, so what do I do if I get pregnant? Or if I get pregnant, then what?
You're pissed. No, but after you get pregnant, after you have your baby, you've got this 3-month period where your hair just looks amazing.
But can you take
it? But doesn't it fall out? Guys, I'm scared. I hear so many things. You know the girl with the list? That's me.
Yeah. Wait, can you take minoxidil whilst pregnant?
No. I don't think so. I researched. I'm like, just in case. Like,
you might as well start using that after you give birth.
That's what I was thinking later.
After you stop breastfeeding.
Or, I don't know, girl, I might go to Turkey. I'm seeing. If the men are going, why are we not going? That's my question.
Just a little bit.
Just the front.
I was talking to my husband about it because when I went to Turkey, on the plane back, you always see people coming back from getting their hair. And you just see the dots. So I'm like, guys, I'm like, why do they not wear hats or like,
I think they're not allowed to.
Yeah. So I'm like, what do we do?
You have to do this.
Just have a hijab.
You have to have it hovering. He has to hold your hijab the whole flight.
Literally, I'm like, so what do we do? And he's like, why are you asking me all these questions? I'm like, I'm just asking, you know, just in case.
You know what my issue with Turkey is, guys? That if I get that done, I'm like, I need to get the next thing. Like,
yeah.
I would get carried away. I'm like, lipo, nose, everything.
I feel like I come back a whole day. Listen, but you know, they always say you're not ugly, you just don't have money. That's so true.
I say that all the time, though. Like, if I had Kardashian money, do you think?
That's literally what it is. You're
like, who is Beyonce to me? Like, right. I'll be honest. I would be like.
Like, when we see what they look like before, I'm like, oh, okay, it's money.
Yeah, I could do it.
It's definitely money.
It is, though. Like, literally. The facials, the fillers. Not that I would get it, but yeah. Just their facials alone is like.
Nah,
insane.
Amazing.
They just, damn.
But yeah.
Must be nice.
I'm thinking about my turkey. You guys are putting ideas in my head now.
I need to.
No, but honestly, guys, like when you
love yourself.
Just before we start with the self love,
no,
can
because
we just
one of my friends messaged the group chat the other day. She said one of her friends started an esthetician clinic and she's looking for models. And listen. I was like, shall I say sign me up? I don't mind getting injections in my lips.
Girl, God. The stuff that people are doing, though.
It's so subtle, but it's so beautiful.
Like
good.
Getting your jaw.
It looks good.
Getting people getting their jaw ices so I could get the fat removed.
Literally. There's non-surgical things insane. You could do to your face to just make it look
snatched.
Like.
Snatched.
But now, girls, love yourself, love yourself, love yourself.
No, love yourself, yeah, guys. This is not us
after
promoting.
After you have two kids, yeah. I'm just saying. You're thinking about anything right now. Anything that's halal, I'll do it at this point because those little gremlins, they suck the life out of you, literally, and I'm not even joking. So, I'm just going to end it there. I don't want to ruin it for anyone.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Anyway, guys, that is the end of our episode. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe on the YouTube. Download the episode on the Spotify and Apple Podcast. Don't forget to leave a review, 5 stars, and a little
make sure
comment.
You drop the little 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Five stars only. What's four?
Like, only what 5. Ew, we don't want it. And make sure you follow our lovely girl Hanan. Yeah. Hanan's Corner.
Hanan's Corner.
And interact with that content.
I think everyone already does, to be fair.
I think they already do, but whoever isn't, they better get to know.
We'll be leaving Hanan's social media details in the description.
And thank you for having me. Oh, this was so
we
fun.
We hope you had fun.
I had so much fun.
Oh, Hanan, honestly, we really enjoyed this. This is a very funny episode.
Oh, that was so fun.
Fun. When we go to Birmingham next, Hanan.
Girl, I'll be right there. Listen, I'm not I don't know if you guys will ever come, though, because I feel people from London say that, and then they just come once every three years.
It's true. You know what? I'm not even going to lie to you, Hanan, but if, however,
if you do,
if I end up in Birmingham one day,
we might even move there. We might even move there. The way London house prices are looking.
Everyone's coming to Birmingham, guys. You get space.
Oh my God,
if I get a 3-bedroom house, that's, you know, under 400K.
Listen, girl, 300 even. Ooh. In a nice area.
No, you lot are living life, wallahi.
Sell it to you.
Guys, a 2-bedroom house in London is like 700, 800K.
It's bleeding you dry.
That's wild. I was looking at the Sloane area. I don't know if you guys know, like Central, like Sloane Square.
Yeah.
Girl.
What you doing?
No, I don't know. Oh, girl. No, no, no. Oh, no, guys. Girl. I can't afford it. I can't afford
it. I'm thinking that art.
No, no. I
was like, girl,
no.
Do we need to start learning to draw?
No. So I have this
thing. Just drop the podcast.
No, it's not that. I have this thing where I like to look at real estate and just imagine.
Oh, yeah. Manifesting.
Manifesting, exactly. So I'll go on Sloane Square, Knightsbridge. I'm just curious. As someone who came from Toronto, to see the real estate here is insane.
Do you reckon the prices are quite similar?
No, girl. You guys are in wild.
We're in hell.
This is not normal.
This is hell.
Ours is not as bad, but not as bad as you
guys. This is why everyone, it's just sad, honestly.
I remember people used to complain about the Toronto house prices, but I used to think, oh, damn, London probably isn't that bad.
Toronto house prices are bad if you're from Toronto.
Yeah.
Because it's comparing to what it used to be, right?
But can I just say diaspora in America and Canada are doing 1,000% better than diaspora in Europe.
Girl, we know.
Especially London. So.
Girl, we know. Girl, we know.
But it's true.
You know
so
what it
sad.
Is? Is the pay.
Yeah.
When I found out how much occupational therapists get paid here, I packed my bags. I said, there's no way.
Yeah, I
it's
know.
It's insane. The starting rate in Canada is what, like 80, 90K,
but
is six figures?
But if it's that high, does that mean your life, just general buying stuff is quite high? So like grocery shopping.
Grocery
shopping
there is expensive. Here it's cheap.
And also, is your healthcare system free? Or private?
Mm-hmm. No, it's free, you guys.
No, we're being robbed. We're being robbed here.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's free.
Girl, when I found out how much nurses get paid here.
It's mad. Band 5
Do you know how much they get paid in Canada?
21K.
That's wild to me.
Starting.
That's wild.
That's insane. Why do people never do these comparisons?
It's wild.
In my salary job that I have.
They should be protesting.
Right? They have.
But isn't that why there's not many nurses?
Someone in my position in America gets 150K. Isn't that mad?
That's correct.
In mental health.
I don't know what you're doing in this country, though.
Girl, I can't raise sons in America. I've said this before.
What about Dubai?
Dubai.
After you build your experience, you'd be good in Dubai.
But like, if you go to Dubai, they want you to have a master's, and I'm nobody.
Really?
My age, yeah, they do.
What's your program?
In mental health. So I do mental health nursing, but I do mental health management.
But isn't it master's or experience?
No. So in Doha and Dubai now, they want you to have a master's. Otherwise, you won't elevate to like a higher, more directorial, senior level.
Get your master's, girl.
Girl, I'm not trying to. For you, if you guys want to do it, but I think you should get your master's. That's what I know.
Yeah.
Going to America is a lot easier with experience. They don't expect Canada or Australia.
Like girl, do you guys look at Texas? Do you guys ever get the real estate from Texas on your For You page?
Girl, I do.
And it's
like, I know. It's so sad.
Insane.
The way we live. They have mansions, Colton.
I know. They've got basements.
And it's so cheap. Like,
they've got backyards, front yards. Insane. It's just sad.
Can I just say?
Detached homes.
It's insane. I feel like, and also the Muslim community in Houston, I think it is Houston or wherever Amr Suleiman is. It's really nice, apparently. The mosques are incredible. The Muslim, like, everyone flocked there.
Is that where we're going?
When I think we need to.
Is that where we're migrating next?
But you know what? I would only do this if loads of people were doing it.
Yeah, I need a community. I need a village to help me raise my kids.
I need some London. Can't do it on my own. I need some Brummy gals there.
You need to convince your friends. Mm. My thing is, why are we suffering?
Say, like, wallah, it's so.
That's
crazy.
What it is. Like, me, I'm coming as a Canadian, it's a little bit different. I can see the differences clearly.
This is why we're suffering. What I just said is why we're suffering. But everyone's just waiting for one person to do it.
I think that's what
we always say in our friendship group. We want a gated community.
This is not happening.
Where we all help each other. To raise the kids. If we can buy one piece of land somewhere, and we'd all just have a house somewhere.
You know, everyone says
land.
Every group of friends says this.
We just want to raise our kids in a communion. Like that's
it's
my
possible,
dream.
But London is just it gets worse. Every
girl, it's hell. Anyway, guys, thank you. Listen to the rest of that. Inshallah, we love you guys so much. Thank you so much for supporting us.
Bye.
And
bye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.